Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sandro.
Yeah, what's up, Zach?
I needed to ask you a question.
Oh, a question. I love questions.
Yeah. Do you know what day it is tomorrow?
Tomorrow is a Tuesday?
No. Try again.
Sometimes I eat tacos on Tuesday, so tomorrow's Tuesday.
Not this Tuesday.
What else do I do on Tuesday? Sometimes I take the bins out?
Yes, because it's garbage day!
Oh! Now, I knew where you were going as soon as you asked me what day it was.
So remember to take your bins out, you know. It's garbage day. You put your bins out.
Garbage day.
Technically, that's on a Wednesday for us, but you put them out on Tuesday.
No, it's Tuesday for me. Oh, no, it's Tuesday night. It's Tuesday night you put the bins out Wednesday morning.
Yeah, because the garbage comes in the morning, but
yeah. Welcome to the show.
And today is full of garbage day.
We have not done a trash film, or like this level of trash, since Supergirl, and I love it.
Yes, but this is like, this is the good kind of, this is the mwah, the gourmet trash.
Oh.
This isn't your average Joe's trash where it's boring garbage, get it out of here. No. This is some glorious, stinky cheese right here.
Some cream of the crop of canned corn your grandma threw out. She kept it in the fridge for too long. It's in the bin. You've just caught a whiff and you're like, ooh, that's some good trash.
That's some stinky trash. Right,
it's there. Way too early to be talking about this. What are you... I hate it. Welcome to Oldie But A Goodie. We review movies from 1987 in the order they came out in. You probably guessed it from the title of the episode, which is the title of the movie that we're talking about. I don't know why I said guessed. It's pretty obvious. We don't make it a mystery what we're reviewing.
But we like to put on this facade, this sort of show. It's part of the entertainment.
Mm.
Speaking of a facade, one could say, we have a fella dressing up as old Saint Nick.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah.
And he'd be downright murdering people. He'd be hitting them with an axe.
Yeah.
It's a generation of axe murderers, in fact.
This is, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. Before we do first impressions, we did do an episode on Part 1, November last year. Mandy from that episode was meant to be on this episode, but she could make it very last-minute changes. And it's Comedy Festival, so we can't record it any other time. So.
Correct.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Let's just say, go listen to the first one, because we'll be mentioning the first one. In fact, don't go yet, because we'll be repeatedly telling you to go listen to it, so wait till one of those other bits to go and listen to it. Because, fun fact, this movie, the first, like, 40 minutes is just clips of the first movie.
Well, because what happened was the first one was so outlandish, it was so rude, it was so violent that it got banned from cinemas. So, what they decided to do was to capitalize on how little that movie made, even though it made a lot more than this one, and just have half the movie be a flashback, and then the other half of the movie be an incredibly inept, yet very enjoyable collection of new footage that is some of the best stuff I have ever seen.
Yes.
Ever.
So, that makes way more sense now that I know, because obviously the first movie didn't get watched so much.
Mm.
Like, it got banned everywhere for being too violent. I remember us talking about that. And that makes it, in my mind at least, a little bit more acceptable that they went and reused a whole bunch of the footage.
Yeah.
I get the idea. Because some people probably wouldn't have seen the first one.
No.
And so, knowing what happened would genuinely help. Maybe not 40 minutes worth of flashbacks.
It didn't feel as long as I thought it would, though. Because I went into it knowing half this movie is a flashback, but it didn't, like, it flew by surprisingly fast.
Yeah, because they go through it. The way they do it is it's a psychiatrist talking to the main character.
Yeah.
And so you have the back and forth between them as well, outside of the flashback. So there's a little bit there, you know, that keeps you sort of invested in the actual movie that we're watching rather than the last one.
But yeah, no, this is a wild ride, and we will jump into it properly in a second. But first, as always, this show is brought to you by the club on Patreon. I was going to say Dead Dad Club, but we did put out a poll, except it's tied. Because, like, it was a poll between the Dead Dad Club or the Bad Porridge Club, and it tied. So I don't know what to do.
Okay, so here we are. We got a bowl of dads.
All right.
A bowl of dead dads.
Mm.
A juicy, smushed pile of dead dads.
That was even worse than my creamed corn thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you head over there, for $5 a month, you get up to about 3 bonus episodes a month, depending on if we do new movie reviews.
I'm going to say average 2.5.
2.5.
That way we can stay in the clear of any legal precautions.
Upwards from 2. The minimum is 2.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do some commentaries at some point. That could be fun. I don't know how we even set that up.
Well, there isn't a global pandemic going on at the moment, so we could easily get up together and... Oh, no.
Anyway, you chose this out of a wide collection of movies. Speaking of Patreon, one of them will be available to be voted on next time we put up a Patreon poll, and that is Making Mr. Right, which is about this woman who makes this robot and then realizes that she's in love with the robot. But the robot is played by John Malkovich, just to make it even better.
I hate it when I personally build a giant life-size robot and then fall in love with it.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
All the time.
There was The Secret to My Success. Michael J. Fox navigates the big world of finance and works his way up the corporate ladder. Sounds kind of dull. Three for the Road. Charlie Sheen is a political aide, goes on a road trip with a senator's wild daughter.
Could be interesting.
Probably not.
I'm
going to go out on a limb and say that sounds terrible.
Could be interesting.
And then there was also Gothic, which is a British horror retelling the Shelley's visit to Lord Byron at Villa Diodati. I saw it, and it was interesting. I was really like, I'm going to watch it.
Could be interesting.
It's the weirdest film. It's so weird.
But none of them were this movie, so get them out of here. Garbage, trash. Didn't want to watch them. We're watching this movie.
Yeah.
And I am very glad that we did.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I am very glad that we didn't do Gothic, because just thinking about that movie gives me a headache. And I don't want to do a synopsis review of that. So I'm glad you didn't pick that one, because it was good, but the story was just all over the place.
Ah, I see. Speaking of all over the place, let's jump into this movie and all its shenanigans. Was there any credits for this movie at all?
Very minimal.
Yep.
Very minimal. So
I'm shocked.
Released April 10th, not Christmas. Whatever. Although April 10th, maybe it got... No, it took forever for movies to come out on VHS back then, so it wouldn't have been out by Christmas time, I don't think. All the original footage for this film is directed, co-written, and co-edited by Lee Harry, who has not done much else. He had a student film that Steven Spielberg liked.
Was it this movie?
No.
Wow, bang, bang.
I think he did some AV work with the Coen brothers.
Interesting.
But that's about it. I saw an interview with him where he was like, I'm amazed people like this movie, so I'm happy to just coast off it.
What a guy. What a fella. Just like, I'm just glad people like this one. I'm like, this is a piece of shit.
I mean, yeah.
That's great.
Well, the film would not be watchable if it wasn't for Eric Freeman, who plays Ricky.
Of course.
He is a bit of an enigma.
Yeah.
He was in episodes of Superboy. He was in episodes of In Living Color. He returned to acting in 2016. He did a Christmas TV movie But for the most part, no one knows who he is, where he is, or how to get in contact with him, so...
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. He is incredible.
Yes, he's, he goes across every spectrum of emotion in the span of, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He just bounces around, and you can see it on his face. Everything's written there. Written in stone.
Yeah.
If that stone had eyebrows that bounced around like they were on mini trampolines. It's a good time.
He's so funny. I don't know how this was made. How he made the decision to act like this.
Mm.
It's fascinating to me. I would have loved to be there watching this being filmed. Just the rampage down the street is like...
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think it's a combination between him trying to do what the previous guy did, that sort of weird stony-faced look, to try and copy his voice a bit. So he puts on this, like, murder voice.
Yeah.
And then his own twist on it. And so it sort of evolved into what we see on film, which is him putting on murder mode and then going crazy. And it's beautiful.
It is glorious. It's glorious. Critics did not think it was glorious at the time, because none of them saw it, but it does have a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes and an audience score of 28%, so that's basically the same on both, so that's good.
Hey, that's better than some of the films we've watched, to be honest.
3.8 out of 10 on IMDb, which is pretty low, but obviously this is a cult classic and a gigantic meme machine of a movie, so... People love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. The quotes from this movie, I had to stop writing them down. Because I was pausing the movie actively to write things down. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this. But every line is just so quotable.
It's great. So, the studio only gave them $250,000 to film the new footage.
Wow, that's nothing. They spent it all on that one car exploding.
Yeah. That was great. That car explosion is one of the funniest.
Sorry. We'll get there.
But yeah, what do you think it made in the US? It had a pretty limited run.
Oh, and I just want to mention, obviously I mentioned this a lot in the first one, but I've quoted Garbage Day. Throughout my life. I'm glad I now know fully and fleshed out the exact circumstance in which Garbage Day was originally formed into this world.
Yeah, it's glorious. Next, we got to do... I forget what the name of the movie is, but it's the scene where the guy goes, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
What's that called? Can't remember.
He's gotta kill her. And then she's gonna kill me! Oh my god!
That is the best scene. What is...
250 mil. 250 mil.
250 mil made $154,000.
$250 mil was low, but was not low enough, apparently.
No.
I should have gone with just $250. Probably would have been closer.
Probably. I mean, it's probably made about $1 million due to midnight screenings, but...
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I feel like this made itself back in just pure gloriousness.
Mm. All right, taglines. There are two taglines. According to IMDb, you got to pick your favorite.
Oh, I'm excited. Let's go.
The nightmare is about to begin again. It's not great.
Yep. Okay, yeah, I get it. It's a sequel. All right. Yep.
This next one's a bit of a mouthful. Prayers won't save you in the silent part of this night.
Yes. Absolutely. Definitely. That's my favorite. Absolutely.
Great.
You gotta bring up the tagline. Can you bring up the taglines from the other movie as well?
From the first one?
Because we weren't doing taglines back then. So I just want to know what the taglines for that one was.
I'm sure one of them is like, "You better watch out" or something.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's gonna be cheesy.
All right, let's have a look. The first one is, "He knows when you've been naughty."
just that? All right.
Yep, there's Santa's here. That's all. That's one of them. Just all Santa's right. Here.
First one was way better.
I kind of like, you've made it through Halloween, now try and survive Christmas.
They've just killed Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, thank God, we're fine. And then Santa comes around with an axe and it's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I doubt that this is a real tagline, but this is on IMDb. If A Nightmare on Elm Street gave you sleepless nights, or if Halloween made you jump in every shadow, or if Friday the 13th was more frightening than the others, then beware!
I believe it. I believe that's like a line from an advertisement.
Yeah.
They ran.
Shocking. Disturbing. The movie they tried to ban. No, they did ban it. They successfully banned it.
They successfully... Yep. Maybe these are taglines that kept... Like, on a second release or something that they did. Because yeah, that sounds like something they would... They would advertise it, that this movie got banned in places. They use that later on.
I genuinely love You've Made It Through Halloween, Now Try and Survive Christmas, though. That's very good.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's jump into the synopsis review. My first note of many drunken notes I took last night while watching this. I'm not hungover, though, which is pretty good. My first note was, well, here we go again.
I wrote down, for the font specifically, I don't know if this was the same in the previous movie, but I liked that the N was stabbing the other N.
Oh, I don't know if that was in the first one. Because the first one was just like, Silent Night is a regular font, and then Deadly Night was red and dripping with blood or whatever.
Yes, whereas this one, it's like, Silent Night, Deadly Night, the bottom one's still red, but you've got an N that stabs into the top N.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's stabbing it, but it's also because of the way N's shaped, the stab just forms the proper N. I thought that was a little clever.
That's pretty good.
A little clever little font play.
The opening's pretty good, though. Like, the music is solid. You've got the doc coming. No, you've got the guard with one of the best faces and expressions I've ever seen on a guard before.
Yeah, but he's just staring at the psycho guy and just, like, very carefully placing the recording set down, all while he's just, like, watching the psycho guy, making sure he doesn't make any movements, like... He's carefully, placing things, and then he turns away for a second. Ricky flicks his lighter to make a clicking noise, and the guard's like, huh, oh. And then Ricky's like, ha ha ha, you jumpy, made you jump, ha ha, gotcha.
That was good. Is he having fun? Is, like, Ricky the character, is he joking around? Is he, like, a jokester? Or does he really think that he's a mean killing machine?
I think both. That's my theory. Like, he has two modes. That's what I'm saying. He has kill mode and Ricky mode. Ricky mode, he's just a fun-loving dude. He just loves pranks, loves having a good time. He's a rebel, you know? Yeah. He's got a motorbike, he's got a jacket, other thing. And then there's psycho killer mode, which is when he sees red, apparently. Just the color red.
Yep, that's what sets him off.
He's a bull, by the way, guys. Did you know that Ricky is a stereotypical bull? And just by seeing red, he goes into psycho mode.
So the doctor comes in and he introduces himself. It's like, my name's Henry, or you can call me Doc. And the first lines we hear from Ricky are, fuck off, Doc.
Fuck you, Doc.
And then Doc says, oh, I'm not one for games, Ricky. I'm a professional. And I don't know why, but I found that very funny.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah, like, he immediately... So they're having a sit-down. He immediately gets, like... He gets furious with the Doc until the guard comes in and interrupts them. And then the Doc's like, get out of here. I don't want to have security, even though there's this known psycho in here. Yep. Like, why wouldn't you just let the guard sit in the room? I don't know.
Also, like, Ricky says, your therapist number 13 or something. I don't think it's that many, maybe 5.
No, 13. You're right.
It is 13? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because he says, oh, that's my lucky number.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. That's right. No one's lucky number is 13.
No, that's the unlucky number, you idiot.
Also, in this sequence, for some reason, halfway through this opening, like, introduction, just at the bottom of the page, it flashes date December 24th. It's like they forgot to film a scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Where someone says that it's Christmas or whatever. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's a small detail. I didn't actually see that.
Mm.
Maybe I was taking a swig then. I don't know.
Probably. I was pretty far gone at this point already.
Yeah. And it would only get worse throughout the night.
Mm.
But then after the guard leaves, he immediately calms down and goes back to regular.
Yeah.
Regular, good old, whatever his name is. I need to write his name down. I keep forgetting his name.
Ricky. Because it was Billy in the first one, and now it's Ricky in the second one.
I keep thinking it's Billy, and I'm about to say Billy, and then I'm like, is it Billy? It's not Billy.
So, flashbacks start now, because the doc's like, tell us about how your parents were killed, and we see the scene from the first one where the parents are killed, except there's added narration this time around.
As we said, go check it out, our first episode on the series. But for the first 40 minutes of this movie, it's just flashbacks to the first movie.
Yes.
And it's just the, like, the most expensive scenes from those movies put into this movie to improve this movie.
Yep.
And if you've actually seen the first movie, it's a bit of a drag because you've already seen this 40 minutes of the movie.
They've changed a few things, though, that I think made it entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being the editing is ridiculously fast-paced.
Yes.
I also really liked trying to see in which parts of the movie Ricky would have known what was going on.
Yes.
Because we get flashbacks of the first movie, which is Billy's story, and the doc's like, well, this was a long time ago, how do you remember any of this? And Ricky says, because I was there. And then it's like, well, no, you weren't for a lot of it.
No. Dude, that doesn't answer the first question.
No.
Because the first question is, how do you remember it? He's in, like, you remember things even if you were there or not. Like, if you weren't there, you wouldn't remember it at all, of course. No. Because you weren't there to remember it. It wasn't there to make a memory. So if you were there, that doesn't answer the question of how you remember it. The whole point of the question is, why do you remember it? Because it's so long ago.
Mm.
I was there when I was born, when I was doing things back as a child. I can't remember them, though, because I'm not a psycho. That doesn't answer the question.
Well, he says that Billy told him? He told him bedtime stories about all this horrible stuff that happened.
But that explains the first part of the flashback. So I'll forgive the first part where they're all children.
Yes.
It's as soon as they go, like, let's skip ahead, that it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because the psychiatrist is like, well, then eventually your brother left you.
Mm.
And Ricky says, no, he didn't leave me. He turned 18. It's great. I'm doing quite a high-pitched voice for Ricky, but in reality, it's more like, he didn't leave me, he turned 18. It's quite angsty.
Yeah, he's very angsty. I wrote down here that he keeps flip-flopping between very cooperative and super abrasive.
Yeah.
So the doc will go, he'll ask him a question and he'll go, ah, fuck you, doc, I hate you, you suck. I'm a rebel thing. And then the doc goes, blah, 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 blah. Let's continue. And the guy's like, okay, so, as I was saying, you know.
But yeah, this is when the flashbacks start, where we see Billy killing people dressed as Santa Claus. And spoiler alert for the first film, Billy died before he had any chance to tell Ricky about any of these murders.
Yes.
So how does Ricky know that Billy impaled some girl on a deer mantle? How does he know any of this?
He doesn't at all. Unless, like, the cops told him or the nuns told him, but why would they do that? No, they wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do that.
How does he know about these things? The movie doesn't explain, because he doesn't have an answer.
It's like, how does he know that the cops showed up to the wrong house following the wrong Santa Claus who turned out to be some guy's dad?
Yeah.
Like, how does Ricky know that?
That wouldn't have even been reported down.
No.
I guess he knew that the cops were out looking for Santas, and that's just the scene that they played as maybe he said, oh yeah, the cops were out looking for all the Santas, and that's just what he said, and the movie just did the flashback. But still, dumb.
Yep.
I've got some quotes here. So first off, she was naughty. And in response to, I believe, I can't remember which scene that was. I think it was, oh yeah, it's the nun.
Mother Superior?
Yeah. And as Mother, he recalls Mother Superior, you know, like belting one of them. Each slap is like, she was naughty as each slap comes in. And I'm like, what is going on?
I don't, that was good.
And then, I don't sleep.
Yep, that was a good one.
This is one of the quotes.
Do you ever dream, Ricky? I don't sleep.
Alright.
Okay. I've written down one quote here that's just, well, maybe we're just jerking off here then.
Yes. Yep, I wrote that one down. That's
a good one. He's great. Ricky's great.
Yeah, Ricky's amazing. Everything he says is just quotable. And that's where I decided I had to stop writing down quotes. Because everything he said was just amazing. Oh, they try and pull the same twist.
Yes.
From the first movie, which really pissed me off. Wait, what? I guess it makes more sense now that I know. The idea was that this was sort of for people who hadn't seen the first movie.
Yeah.
Which is somewhat likely. Because the movie tries to pull the same twist from the first movie, where the cop comes around and sees a Santa approaching the children.
Yes.
From, at the orphanage. So he, like, pulls out a gun and shoots the Santa. While this is happening, we're swapping between flashbacks from Ricky as a child and Ricky in real life, and Ricky's going like, Billy, Billy, like in the real time. But we know, because we've seen the previous movie, that it was not Billy.
Yes.
And that the twist is that it was the pastor. In the present, he's going, Billy, Billy. But then he goes, but it wasn't Billy. So why are you saying Billy, Billy? As a kid, dumb. You definitely wouldn't have seen Billy.
That was a really, really dumb moment, yeah.
Yes, it was super dumb, because they just try and do the same twist. It makes more sense if you didn't see the first movie, because then they could actually do the twist.
Yeah.
But as someone who saw the first movie, I was like, well, I know it's not Billy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, then the real Billy goes to the orphanage, tries to kill Mother Superior, gets killed himself. And the ending of the first film was Ricky pointing at Mother Superior and going, naughty! Except in this movie, instead of a kid voice, it's overdubbed with Ricky's adult voice.
Yeah, which is kind of a nice touch.
That was cool. Way to incorporate... It's the bare minimum they could have done.
Yep.
To incorporate these two movies. And then I liked how, even though this is where the movie actually starts, it's still told in flashback.
Yes, yes.
Which is a clever way to tie it all in.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the first 40 minutes we just summarized, by the way. So this is where the actual movie starts, which makes this, like, maybe 40 minutes of an hour and 20.
Yeah, yeah, with credits, it's about 40 minutes.
Yeah, 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 40 minutes. So this movie is really just 40 minutes long.
Yeah, this is a TV movie.
And I'd be interested to see, because I saw a poster for... like a movie cinema doing 1 and 2.
Oh, that would be awful.
Yes. I wonder if you cut to this moment of the second, maybe play some psychiatrist thing, and then just cut out the first 40 minutes, and then just go from here.
But then you'd miss, like, maybe we're just jerking around then. You'd miss all those great lines, or you just, like, leave them in, just cut around them.
Yeah, but how would you do that? I wonder.
So, we see flashbacks that Ricky gets adopted by this lovely family who don't like Christmas. Yay. They don't celebrate Christmas, so he doesn't ever get triggered to become a homicidal maniac.
Except we need to get past the fact that every year, Christmas would be everywhere, you know, all over the shops and everything, because that's just a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Is all the corporations go super Christmassy. And he would have seen that. Like, did he get locked inside with his family every year?
I'm
like,
picturing Harry Potter. Yeah, he's locked under the stairs. He never really goes outside, doesn't watch TV.
Wow, I didn't realize that's what happened. Man, I'm so glad the movie explained all that to you, Sancho.
Did not at all. That's just what I'm picturing. I love the scene where he's walking down the street with his mum and then two spooky nuns just show up.
And he's like...
And he has this breakdown.
Yeah. One, why is he breaking down over the nuns? The nuns were...
Well, because they're reminding him of, like, Mother Superior, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, was that really traumatic for him? The nuns specifically?
Because the nuns were nice in the first film.
Yeah, like, one of the nuns was nice. Mother Superior was a bitch, but the other nuns were pretty nice. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
The nuns weren't the thing. It was Santa that triggered him. But he's getting triggered over these nuns. And then he's like, Mom, Mom! And the mum's ignoring him until she finally, like, gives in and sees what... And as she does, the nuns dip into a store for no reason.
Yep.
And so she completely misses, and she's like, oh, I don't know what this kid's talking about. She goes back to talking, and the nuns come back out again, and they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Great. It was great. And the music was way too dramatic for nuns walking down the street.
So dramatic. There's just nuns walking down the street. Anyway, then Billy, like, sees some red.
Ricky, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Ricky, yeah. Ricky sees red, and apparently he's a bull. Like a cartoon
he
bull.
He is.
Because if he sees red, he gets triggered because Santa getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into a fit, and then the mum's like, oh, crap, my son's having a fit. Maybe I should actually pay attention.
And then Ricky's like, 5 years later, my parents died. And we cut to him 5 years later, and he's grown from, like, a 6-year-old to a 20-year-old in the space of 5 years.
What do you mean? He looks 16 to me, Sandro. Mm. I don't know what you mean.
No, not at all. It didn't take me out of the movie, though. It made me laugh, so good on you, film.
Yeah, no, because, like, this actor... looks just as old. Is it the same actor?
No. Because he's meant to look younger than the Eric
actor
Freeman, the guy that plays Ricky.
Yes.
He's meant to look younger than him, but they look the same age.
They look the same age. I almost thought older in some aspects, but younger. He's clearly younger, but only maybe by like a couple of years. Like, I would believe if someone told me that actor was older than the other actor, sort of thing. Like, it's a Tobey Maguire situation, you know, we got going on here. Anyway.
We get a great line where he says, you tend to get a bit paranoid when everyone around you gets dead. So, yeah, you probably would.
Yeah, that's true. Can't argue with that. Anyway, he's chilling after his dad dies, and then he sees a picnic.
Yep. Yeah, he's just frolicking in the woods and comes across this lover's picnic.
Yes.
They're on this picnic, and the guy says to his girlfriend, you're gonna need a new shirt. And she's like, well, what do you mean by that? And his response is, I mean, I see something I like. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Yep.
Why is she gonna need a new shirt?
Yeah. I mean, we know where this is going. So it's this boyfriend and girlfriend, except the boyfriend's really gropey.
Mm.
And then he tries to get it on, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, we cut back to, because Ricky's watching, and he gets flashbacks to when his mum
was
assaulted, and that kind of sets him off a bit.
Yeah. Naughty.
Naughty. So the boyfriend says, screw this, I'm getting a beer. And walks
off. I'll be back. And so he goes to the car, and then the car starts up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, there's someone at the wheel. Turns out it's Ricky. And Ricky runs him over several times.
Several times. Even though the guy was just in front of the car, so you'd have to have a lot of momentum to hit and run over this standing dude.
Correct.
Not sure how that works, but he's dead.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. He continues to run over the guy.
It goes on for a while, and then the girlfriend runs up and says, thank you!
Yes! What? What? just 2 seconds ago, you were being all lovey-dovey with your boyfriend. And then the next minute, you're like, oh, thanks for killing him, man. I really appreciate it. What?
So,
what the fuck?
There's either... Okay, so there's a bunch of reasons. My reason is that Ricky's telling this story. He's a very unreliable narrator.
Hence
why he was able to run over a dude who was just standing in front of the car, and why the girlfriend comes up and says thank you. Or, the other thing is, Ricky never kills anyone who doesn't, like, in the first movie, Billy was just killing random people because he was like, oh, you're sleeping around, that's naughty, I'm gonna kill you. Whereas Ricky's like, you're being a bit of a creep, I'm gonna kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking during a movie, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's got more of a reason, until the end, of course, where he's just like, garbage day.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna bring up. Your theory sort of breaks down at the very end, where he just starts killing random civilians.
It does.
Like, it makes sense to kill here, it just doesn't make sense that the girl comes up and thanks him.
I don't know.
She's so calm about it as well. I'm like, what the fuck? That's what I wrote down. I was like, what the fuck? It makes no sense.
So then we cut to a couple years in the future. It's regular Ricky now.
I like this line where Ricky makes fun of the doctor for not being able to keep up with the things. Because, like, the doctor's writing down notes from their conversation. It's all being recorded on the machine, but he's writing down notes, and he's like, am I going too fast for you, doctor? Oh yeah, red car, real important. Yeah, that was good. I actually genuinely quite like that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh yeah, the doctor wrote down red car. Like, that fucking matters. Yeah, no, that is funny.
Yeah, funny. Although the car was red, that set him off. I guess. That's probably what the psychiatrist was leaning towards.
Yeah. Which is the idea. But it's still funny that he made fun of him. I thought that was actually quite clever.
What would be really funny, and this could just be a sketch, probably not a full-length movie, but a guy who does go into these sort of violent rages whenever he sees red, except he also gets constant blood noses. So he's just in the shower, his nose starts bleeding, and he's like, ah, and then just smashes.
What?
It's probably just a sketch idea, it's not a movie, but it could be pretty funny.
That's dumb.
No, it's great.
No, that was stupid. Anyway, we cut to another scene where he sees like a dealer or something trying to get money out of this guy, and the guy's like, I'll get you new money. And then we see Ricky kill him with an umbrella.
Yeah, he grabs an umbrella, somehow manages to shove the entire umbrella through the guy, and then he opens it up.
Yep.
Once it's through him.
Lovely.
It's good. It looks good. I was quite surprised that this movie had a singular impressive kill.
Yeah. It was cool. Stabbing with an umbrella. It's great when he confronts him, because he's like, oh, kid, you looking for trouble? And he's like, yep. Stabs him with an umbrella.
And now, at this point in the interview, the doc is starting to get a bit nervous, because the doc is going, hold on a second, I've never heard of this murder before.
Yeah.
This wasn't reported on the news. You're a bit more dangerous than I thought you were, Ricky.
Yeah. The dog's starting to sweat a bit. Well, I think this is a bit of a comeuppance for this doctor being such an idiot and letting the guard leave.
Are you victim blaming the doctor?
Yes.
Okay.
I am absolutely victim blaming the doctor. It's his own fault. There's guards there for a reason. The guard is smart. The guard's keeping an eye. As soon as he hears something violent, the guard bangs in and then it's like, oh, what are you doing? Get away from the doctor.
Yeah.
And the doc is like, nah, get out of here, you stupid idiot. I need to build a connection with this psycho killer. I'm just saying, it's the doctor's fault. And if I was to murder a doctor, it would be his fault as well.
Wow. That's...
Not that I have.
The views and opinions of one Zach Adams do not represent the show or other people involved in the show.
Or the real life Zach Adams.
Okay, let's talk about Jennifer. Because Ricky starts dating this actress called Jennifer because her car bumped into his bike and then they started going out.
Oh, I hated this. I hated this so much. She comes out and she does that. like, little yes. giggle, yes. like, smile.
Yes.
It's like, after she accidentally rams her car into his motorbike. And I'm like, what the fuck is that sort of reaction? She's not, like, worried about this guy. She's all like, hee-hee, oopsie-daisy, just accidentally rammed my car into your bike. Yep. Dude, if I was Ricky, I would have been triggered right then. I would have... No, she would be dead.
Wow.
She would have had an umbrella paled within her. But he does a little bit of different impaling, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we get the singular sex scene in the movie.
Yeah.
And... I want to point out, the first film, obviously quite gross, quite leery, a lot of yucky angles, very much objectifying everyone in the first film. This one, pretty artfully done. I was like, wow.
Yeah, they're a little bit more tasteful, yeah.
And also, Ricky's ripped, oh my goodness.
Yes, yeah, so that's something they point out, yeah, like, he is. Mm. Good on you, Ricky.
Good on you.
But that's something you pointed out in the first movie, that Billy was unusually strong.
Yes.
For his age. Like, they actively built that up, that he was, like, lifting crates and other things like that.
Mm.
But they never do that for Ricky, specifically.
I like the line where he's like, that was my first time. I thought it was Jennifer's first time as well.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you say that?
Yep. Well, we get to know why.
Oh, boy. All right. I love... Okay, this is the longest quote I've written down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As soon as it started, I couldn't stop laughing, so I just rewound it and wrote the quote down. Because they go to a date at the theater, at the cinema.
Oh, no, here we go.
And before the movie starts, by the way, the movie they watch is equally hilarious.
Oh, yeah, this is cool. I actually wrote this down because I was like, hey, I actually like this a lot. Anyway, continue.
Before the movie starts, we get a trailer, and this is what the trailer says. Chaos, the motion picture you've been waiting for. Action, more violence, more death and destruction than any film you've ever seen before. Chaos, rated M, no one under 17s per minute. I was like, it's a great trailer.
Great trailer.
I'd go see that.
I would watch it. Yeah.
And there's this, like, jerk in the back row who's like, chaos.
Hurry up with the movie. Yeah. Come on. Hurry up. He's like, movie. He tries to start a chant. He's, like, yelling in the audience. Have you ever, like, had someone in a movie theater be that piece of shit?
Not that bad. I mean, when we saw Avengers Endgame, there was this one guy who was like, get him, Thor! And I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
But that's about the worst that it's ever really been for me. Oh, or when we saw Halloween, where there was that mum with her daughter and they were talking the whole way through. That was annoying.
Yeah, but that's just like... people talking and being shitty in movies. There's not, like, actively, like, yelling in a movie, trying to talk over a movie.
Yeah, no.
They're just talking, you know? He was a giant piece of shit, and I felt no regret for that one guy dying. I was like, nope. That, of all the people in this movie, that guy deserved it the most.
Yeah.
He was really asking for it. He very specifically antagonized... Ricky, and I'm like, yep, nope, this guy deserves to die. Yeah.
And yeah, the movie they're watching is this low budget 4x3 remake of the first film.
It's like they went and saw a movie, and the movie that they're watching is about a guy who dresses up as Santa and kills people.
Loved it.
Which was amazing. I was like, whoa, that's so meta. That's crazy meta. Because Killer Santa is what triggers Billy and Ricky.
Mm.
So they went and saw a movie about a Killer Santa, which of course triggers Ricky... which means he's turns into Killer Santa. So it's like a cycle.
It is.
And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. If we ourselves were triggered by that, that would be a movie in a movie triggering us. Yeah. It's meta. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. I was a big fan. I was like, that's funny. And then Chip pops up.
Yeah, Jennifer's ex, Chip. He rocks up and Jennifer's like, Chip, don't talk to me. The meter's running, or are you using a credit card? And I was like, who wrote these lines? Like, every line is incredible.
She says that because his current girlfriend's over there, like, you know, waiting for him to come back. But he's like, we should get back together. You never return my calls. Ugh. And she's like, yeah, for a reason.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Chip, you piece of shit.
So the next day, Ricky and Jennifer are walking down the street. They come across Chip. His ute has broken down. And they walk up to him. They start a whole confrontation. I like how the lines, again, incredible. Because Ricky's like, that's enough, Chip. Stop harassing her. And Chip's like, yeah, bud, that's what she said.
Okay. That's not all. It says, that's what she said when I fucked her in old red here.
Yep.
It's the exact line. I was like, what the fuck is this line?
And then, I love this, she falls down. She's like, shut up, Chip. And then she falls down. And then Chip's like, falling for me again, dear. Reaches into his pocket, grabs aviators, and puts them on.
And then he gets grabbed by the neck, and turns out Chip probably shouldn't have antagonized the killer dude, because he grabs the hot wire from the car and, like, pins his tongue with it, and then turns the battery to, like, full power.
Yeah.
And Chip gets fried.
He gets fried.
I wrote down that line. Chip gets fried. Chip
gets fried. Some nice French fries right there. Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, fried chips. Just saying. Get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
I do get it.
His name's Chip.
I know.
And I wrote down that he gets fried because he got fried by the electricity.
My joke about the blood nose guy was better.
I don't think so.
So what did you think of this? Because immediately Jennifer gets upset and then Ricky's like, well, I guess I'm going to kill you too.
Yeah. No. This is great because she goes, goom.
Yep.
For like the actor does a like cartoon gulp.
I wrote that down.
Which
as
was
well.
So funny. It was so bad. I was like, what is happening? No, he immediately goes, well, you have to die as well. Yeah, I think this is when he snaps.
I think
this is clearly when he goes over the line. It doesn't make sense for the Punisher to kill her because she hasn't done anything.
No.
I guess no. He does learn at this point that Chip banged her, so she's not a virgin. And then on learning that she's not, he gets mad and then kills her. But this causes him to snap because he's not really killing her because she's naughty. He's killing her because he's mad.
That's probably what the case is.
And this causes him to go a little haywire.
Just a little? I mean...
Yes, just a little cuckoo.
Yeah, well, I'll go through this whole sequence. As you mentioned, she goes, loop, and then he strangles her with a radio antenna.
It's so good. I wrote it down. I was laughing for a full minute after she did that. That was great.
Because then the cops show up. Where does Ricky get the gun?
So what happens is a policeman shows up with a gun, actively walks up, and puts the gun in his face instead of, you know, maintaining a safe distance. And he's like, all right, buddy, I'm just going to put these cuffs on you. No funny business. And then Ricky grabs the gun, pulls it around and shoots him.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That was really dumb.
And it's bad as well because instead of showing how he does this, he grabs the gun and then it cuts to him shooting the cop in the head.
Yeah, they were like, we don't know how this works, but it needs to happen for the plot, so we'll edit around it.
Yeah.
Which honestly makes me respect the filmmaker even more, because he didn't try.
Yeah.
And good on you, you're great.
And then, and now Ricky has a gun, and he just shot a cop. I was like, god damn it, cop, why were you so dumb? Why? All he had to do was, like, hold the gun away from the suspect as he cuffed it. Like, tell him to turn around. Tell him to put his hands where he can see him. Anything. But no, the cop, after seeing this active guy murder two people, decides to stroll up and put the gun straight in his face.
And then Ricky's like, well, guess I'm going to walk down this one street and kill every single person on the street.
One of the neighbors comes out and is like, what's going on? What's all this noise? Bang. Dead.
Nearly dead.
He just shoots him.
We get the great scene. It is the best scene in the movie. A guy, he's taken out his garbage. He puts his garbage can down. He stands up. Ricky's there and he's like, garbage day. And the face.
Yes.
Is gold.
It's amazing. It's
incredible.
He's like, his eyes are pulled full back. Yeah. He's leaning back. And he, garbage day.
This actor could have easily become another, like, Nicolas Cage. If he kept working.
Oh, absolutely.
And kept doing more movies, he could have just been on that level. Because he is incredible.
You could easily see Nicolas Cage in this role in the movie. Where he's, like, calm, collected one. And then going full Cage the next.
Yeah.
This is the... He goes full Ricky. At this point.
The full Ricky. That's a good, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's laughing maniacally at this point as he's walking down the street.
Yeah, but it's not like a Joker laugh. It's like a, ha ha ha.
Yes.
Ha 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 ha.
It's such like a put on laugh as well. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, it's so
great. It's great.
It's amazing. A small girl rides her tricycle into him, and he's like, oh, that's okay.
You're fine.
You're fine.
Go away.
And then a car drives past, and he's like, bang, bang, shoots the car.
Yeah, he shoots the engine, and he says, bingo.
Yeah, because it's like a radiator, and the radiator sort of looks like a bingo sheet, so he says bingo when he shoots two holes in it. And then the car flips over and then explodes.
Now, this stunt is ridiculous. I had to rewind it because if you look closely enough, that car is inches away from whoever is playing Ricky in that scene. It could have been a stunt double, I don't know, but that could have hit him. That could have taken his face off how close that car is when it flips.
Yeah.
So dangerous. And then it comically, like, rolls onto its side and then goes back upright and then explodes, which was great.
Yes.
That was very funny.
It was like, it flips upright, pause, explosion. Ridiculous explosion, which was amazing.
Yeah.
After walking down the street, he's like, puddin' walking at this point as well.
Yes.
He's, like, got his shoulders out. He's, like, he's like jigging with it, you know. He struts down the street, I should say.
Again, this entire action sequence takes place on one street.
Yes.
just want to point that out again. It's great. And he just walks into a police blockade, right?
Yeah, there's a police blockade. How did they set up a police blockade? Why did they set up a blockade? Why is there, like, how did they set this up this quickly? Why? I don't know. Makes no sense whatsoever. And then they all point guns at him, and Ricky is still laughing maniacally, puts the gun up to his head, and then all the cops are like, no, don't do it, it's not worth it, man! They all start having these lines with him, like, don't kill yourself.
It's great, and then he pulls the trigger, but the gun's empty, of course, so he's like, oh no. And we cut to him in the interview. I wrote this whole thing down because it was great. Where he says, no more bullets. Young and stupid. That was my problem. And it's a shame they stopped me before I did what I really had to do. But hey, that's life.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And then we see that he talks to the doctor for a bit, and then we turn to the doctor, and we see that the doctor's actually dead.
Yeah, he killed the doctor off screen.
Yeah, which I thought was good. I like that.
And then he presses play on the tape, and we hear the recording of him killing the doctor.
There's
some clever stuff. Like, this film is terribly made, but there's some very, very clever stuff in this film. So he's out, he kills a street Santa and takes his costume.
And then we cut to the police at the cell where he escaped from, talking with a nun. And the nun's like, oh no, Mother Superior, she retired. She lives on her own now and stuff. And because they're like, well, he's clearly after her.
Yes.
We've got to protect it. And she's like, well, don't worry, because she's on her own now. There's no way he could find her or something like that. I don't know why this is a plot scene, because he easily manages to find her.
I mean, her house number is 666, So
yes. Okay. I saw that. I wrote that down. It's like, why would a nun stay at a place 666?
I have no idea.
Like, a nun, very specifically, probably would have taken umbrage with living at a specific place called 666. Like, anybody else wouldn't mind. They would go, ha ha ha, 666. But, like, specifically a nun?
And Mother Superior as well. Like, she's a awful person, but she's not, like, a Satanist. She's an awful person because she takes her Catholicism too far, whatever she is.
She's a religious zealot. She goes way too far. And, she would be, like, the one person, like, maybe other nuns would be like, oh, 666, whatever, it's just a number, we don't care. Mm. Other nuns, but not her, she's fucking crazy. She would have been like, no thank you, I don't want to. They did. That's the devil's number. How dare you? You know, that sort of thing. But anyway, that's a small detail. Doesn't matter. It was kind of funny. It was like, oh, it's 666. Ha ha ha.
Oh, and we should mention that Mother Superior is in a wheelchair, which she was in the first one. But this time she also has a lot of scar tissue.
Yes.
On one side of her face from whatever happened in the first film.
Yes, she, apparently she also had a stroke or something. Mm. I don't know. It's weird. I think that's just to hide up the fact that they used a completely different actor.
That's definitely why that's there, yes.
Yep.
So he bursts into the house. He's like, Mother Superior, I've got a present for you. And it's very important to point out this is a two-story house. She's on the top floor at the moment.
Yes. With a wheelchair. How does she get up and down the stairs?
Well, she's got two wheelchairs. And I guess she crawls between them, goes up the stairs.
Yeah, what? Anyway.
There's no chairlift. I don't know. Has she got an elevator in the house, maybe?
No, because why would she have two wheelchairs if she had an elevator? No, maybe someone comes in and helps her up the stairs? We don't know. Anyway.
I love how Ricky does the shining thing, though.
Here's Johnny. He doesn't say it, but he axes down a door and stares through.
Yeah, which was good.
Did the Shining come out before
that? That was the 70s. Yeah, that was before this.
Yep.
Maybe it was like 1980, but it was definitely before this.
Yep, so that's definitely stolen from The Shining. Mm. Got it?
Yeah, 100%.
So she tries to escape by rolling away. Ricky's having fun going around smashing the TV, smashing the door, smashing things. He's just having a grand old time. He's not really actively chasing her for a bit, and so she gets enough time to, like, roll to the stairs. Then he comes over and it's like, haha, I've got you now. And she, the stubborn old bird, she's like, nah, can't get me today. And she just freaking jumps down the stairs as she, like, collapses down them to get away. I was like, damn, this old bird doesn't die, does she?
No, does not. Well, no, she does. She very much does.
Well, yeah, I know. She will in a second. Spoilers, Sandra.
Sorry about that.
She goes over to the cupboard and she pulls out a knife. And at this point, she's like, where are you? Come out and face me. I'm not afraid of you. Even though actively you were running away from him 2 seconds ago. Also, why is he hiding? He was just hot on her heels 2 seconds ago.
Because the movie needs him to be hiding, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep. Then he appears and they have a sort of face-off. We have her holding a knife and him holding an axe. And she's like, you've been naughty. You deserve punishment. Lay down your axe. I'm your superior. You lay down your axe and take your punishment.
Yep. And then she's like, you're naughty. You're naughty. You're so naughty, Ricky. You're being naughty. And Ricky says the glorious line, naughty this.
Yep.
And he chops her head off with an axe.
Yep. We don't see him chop her head off with the axe.
No.
We see him raise the axe to strike. We cut to the cops coming in, bursting in.
Mm.
They come in with the nun for some reason. Why is the nun here, by the way? It makes no fucking sense.
Don't know.
The nun sees Mother Superior just sitting at the table. She's like, oh, Mother Superior. So maybe Mother Superior managed to stab him in time.
Maybe.
We don't know. She goes over to Mother Superior. She's like, are you okay? And as she does this, Mother Superior's head falls off. So Ricky must have, one, chopped her head off cleanly, and two, put her at the table and placed her head back on top of her body.
That's exactly what would have happened.
With, like, cleaning up all the blood? Question mark.
I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't make any fucking sense. And then he bursts out of the shadows and tries to kill the nun, and the cops shoots him.
The cops shoot him. He falls down. He's dead. Until they realize that he's not dead and his eyes open, and then the movie ends.
Yep. The last frame of this movie is like a Santa arm with a knife just shooting out of the dark. And I was like, what was that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow.
I love that it ends with he's just like, yeah, he killed Mother Superior and then got shot, but he's still alive.
Is he? I thought he was dying, but he was like happy.
Well, he's in the third one. They recast him, but he is in the third film.
Oh.
So I guess he lives.
Maybe he had like a Kevlar under there. We don't know.
This film's great. This is a great movie.
This is fantastic. Yeah.
We have to give it the good porridge award. There's nothing else you could really, really do.
Yeah. I don't. Because half the movie is the first one. However, that half of the movie that's the first one, I found more entertaining. Well, no, it's not more entertaining than the first film because it's...
No, I think it is.
There's no tension, though. Like, the first movie was disgusting and gross and, very uncomfortable to watch, but it had tension.
It was the highlights from the first one. And so, watching that, it was watchable. And with the sort of narration, the added bits from... The other guy, it was alright.
Bit. Yeah, it wasn't too boring.
It definitely makes sense in context. It's worse not knowing the fact that the first movie wasn't seen in a lot of places because it was banned, that sort of thing.
The opening, it's fine. It flew by quicker than I thought it would. It wasn't as boring as I thought it would be.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. And then the second half just flies by because it is so much fun.
It's amazing. It's real fun.
Well, the good porridge award, though, we've got the bad porridge award. What did we give that to?
There was some really shitty movie. I can't remember. It was so bad. It was so bad, I cannot actively remember it.
Oh, no, we haven't given the bad porridge award to anything, but we did give Raising Arizona the good porridge. Wait, are you saying this movie's on the same level as Raising Arizona?
Correct. That's exactly what I am saying. Oh, no, there's the January award that we gave to some of the bad movies.
Yeah, that's kind of our bad one this year.
What was the January award we gave,
Jim? Well, we've given out four January awards this year already.
Four, really?
There was the True January Award, which we gave to Critical Condition and Alan Quatermain.
Yes.
Because they came out in January, so they are January movies.
Yeah.
And then the Honorary January Award we have given to The Barbarians and Police Academy 4.
Yeah, and Police Academy 4 definitely deserved that movie. Was bad and not even fun in the good way. Unlike this film.
No.
So what I'm saying is perhaps instead of good porridge, we give this the bad porridge. Because it's still porridge. And it's its own unique reward for being... But it's porridge still, though. So you still eat it, you know. You still mum, mum, mum.
But my thing is, though, if we do get a movie that's like a half-star movie that is worse than a January film because it's like a blame it on Rio. It's not a, this is a lazy January movie. It's no, this is a genuinely awful movie.
Mm.
Would we give that the Bad Porridge Award then?
No, not at all, because that wouldn't even be porridge.
That wouldn't be porridge.
I guess that is bad porridge.
All right, for the sake of... ending this conversation, it'll make our rating system very complicated, but sure, this gets the bad porridge award.
Yeah.
Or maybe the meme porridge award.
The meme porridge, yeah. This gets the meme porridge. It's full of delicious, delicious memes.
I would like to go back in time and change our rating for Supergirl also to the meme porridge award, because I think these are both on the same level.
Yeah. So what happens is, it's like, you get a regular porridge, but you fill it with, candy or other sweet stuff, you know? So it's not good for you at all.
No.
It's not good at all, but it's just so good to consume. Yum, just nom. And it's good for a bit of dessert, bit of a once-in-a-while sort of thing, you know?
Incredible. Incredible movie. I loved it. And I've seen quite a few video reviews of this movie before, which also kind of made me go, well, I already know all the big moments, so watching it might be a bit late. No, it's not. No, watching it is still great. So even if you have heard this episode, check it out, because you will still have fun. It is such a good...
You could probably skip 40 minutes ahead.
Yep, probably.
Unless you haven't seen the first movie, and then I would suggest watching this movie... And then going and see the first movie or something, or watching the first movie and skipping 40 minutes, either one of those.
But anyway, add and remove segment. It's what we do. We add something, we remove something.
I would add 40 minutes of movie to the first half of this movie.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd add. Probably more Christmas songs, more Christmas-themed stuff, because it's pretty obvious this was not filmed at all during Christmas. So I would say just add some more Christmas stuff. And remove...
What would you remove, though?
I don't know.
It's all amazing.
Probably remove the flashbacks just so that you've got the option to watch it without flashbacks. So you got, like, two versions of the movie that you couldn't watch.
Oh, yeah. You want an edited script where they've got the first bit, but it's less flashbacks, more just him telling... the doc what happened or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe that's like a 10-20 minute scene rather than a 40 minute scene.
Well, then time for the checklist. This is a list of tropes that we have written down based off everything we've seen so far this year. It's getting quite long. We might have to start cutting some things out of it, some stuff that hasn't ranked too highly. Maybe we'll look into that maybe next week. We'll see.
That's a good idea. We should review the trope list and see which tropes are the most tropey and which are not.
Yes. But yeah, we'll go through these tropes, see how this ranks. Number one is the film Bad Porridge. Of course it's bad porridge. This is awful porridge.
It's garbage porridge. Not good for you porridge at all porridge.
Trash makes bad porridge. Just gonna say.
Yes.
Dumb characters. Yep.
Yep.
Just yes.
Yeah, the policeman, the doc, the girlfriend, all the male characters.
Like, in the first one, the nice nun wasn't that dumb, but in this film, she's dumb.
Yes, correct.
Bad guy from foreign country, Mother Superior, is not from a foreign country, I think.
No, she's not. I think this one gets away with it.
Yes.
I think this one's fine.
All the good guys live?
Nope, they're dead.
Because there weren't any good guys. Maybe the Doc.
Yeah, that's true. Doc was probably a good guy, and he died.
Yeah.
The policemen live at least.
Sure.
It's a murder film, so it's a bit hard to say yes for that one.
A good guy sacrifices themselves. There's nothing to sacrifice in this film.
Well, I mean, the you could argue that the Mother Superior could have if she managed to stab him in the last bit, but she didn't, so that's she true. Failed.
She's not a good guy, though.
No.
I don't know. Generator or power outage, I'm sure at some point in the flashbacks that happened.
Oh, no, they did. The shop.
Oh, yeah.
The shop, the power goes out.
Power goes out in the shop.
Specifically in the Christmas shop when, Billy of the first movie is axe murdering people.
That's right. Female lead falls in love with male lead. That's her whole job. Yeah, that's Jennifer's entire character. Dead animals? No.
No.
Doesn't get the dead animal trope.
Nope. This one passes that one as well. I think in the previous movie as well, there wasn't any dead animals. So there you go.
Is a rip-off of other famous movies? Yeah, it rips off the first one because half the movie is the first one. So it gets that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was going to do the Shining, but...
Oh, yeah, The Shining as well.
Because it does do that, but no, it literally has 40 minutes of the first movie, so I can't argue with that one.
Vehicle breaks down, car crashes, car stops. Yes, the car explodes.
One car explodes, the other car breaks down and has the, like, good old Chips, old red, you know?
Yeah, that one as well.
He banged the girl in, that we vividly get told.
Does not let you forget that. At all.
Yep.
Slow motion. There is no slow motion in this film. There is no song with the title of the movie in it. Yes, I would count the song Silent Night, but we don't hear it in the movie. No noticeable green screen because they could not afford it.
Yeah.
Being knocked on the head and falling unconscious.
Ooh.
No.
It's less unconscious, more being knocked on the head and then just dying.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of these are for PG.
Yeah.
films.
Yeah.
And don't work when the whole point is everyone dies.
Unfunny joke, where the joke is that it's unfunny. There were no jokes on purpose in this movie. There were a lot of jokes.
Yeah, that one doesn't fall that one because all the jokes were hilarious but weren't meant to be.
Font does the thing that it describes in the title. No?
Nope.
But it does stab the N.
Yeah, but that's Silent Night, Deadly Night. Oh, the Deadly Night is kind of deadly, you know? Yeah. It's yeah, but not the same, not the same, no.
Narration, yes, very much yep. so. And yep. dubbing over dialogue they forgot to record, probably. I didn't notice anything that took me out of it.
Yeah. I think there was maybe one moment. I think the Garbage Day one had actual... It swapped audio tracks. Yeah. It had a slight dip in quality. Otherwise, I didn't notice any, so possibly not that one.
Well, there we go. About as tropey as you'd expect a film like this to be.
Yep. I don't think we can grab any new tropes from this one. Maybe there's like a sequel specific where it's got clips from the first movie.
Yeah, we can add that. I don't know how many sequels we got coming up, but I'll add that only for sequels. We've got quite a few of those only for where it's like only for fantasy, the queen is super white, only for sci-fi, triple boobs.
Yeah.
All right, I guess it's time for Raven Reviews.
No. It's actually not Raving Reviews.
Oh, it's not Raven Reviews. Oh, okay.
No, this week it's Garbage Reviews.
Somehow a more apt title, probably.
Yeah, actually. It's actually more apt than Raving Reviews, funnily enough. Because most of these are complete garbage. This is the part of the show where I go to the one website that matters, Rotten Tomatoes, and get the only reviews that matters, which are the audience reviews and not the critics. Because as we all know, critics are corporate shills that live in the paid country, the fake country of Australia.
Now, Zach, I do want to point this out, though. It's been a few weeks, but we did put out our new movie review on Patreon of Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Which we went to the critics screening for.
Mm-hmm.
I go to them all the time, but it was your first time going and then recording a review off that screening. You were now a critic.
Oh, yeah, I'm a corporate shill, absolutely. My opinion doesn't matter anymore. I sold it out to watch King Kong, and I am okay with that.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. No. I'm well aware that my opinions have now been invoided because the government has paid me out, and I am now a corporate shill. I am aware.
The government? I think it was just Warner Brothers.
No. It's important to bring it up. Because, yes, I am now part of the regime.
Yes.
But that doesn't stop me hating the regime from the inside. Mm. I'm that one guy with the podcast, you know, that's going into the regime to break it down from the inside. Anyway, on with Raven Reviews. Sajik's got to guess the score between 0.5 and 5. All right. These are some good ones this week. These are really good ones. It's a shame we don't have our guest because I was really hoping for the battle for these ones. So we have Khalil, who says, bottom of the barrel and just plain naughty.
Naughty.
What do you think Khalil gave this?
2 stars.
0.5.
Oh, it was the bottom of the barrel.
Yep. There was a lot of reference to Garbage Day in the reviews, and I had to avoid picking those ones. But I appreciate that everyone's just like, Garbage Day!
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Sean says, in the Irish spelling of Sean, which I find fascinating because it is so dumb.
Wow, poor Ireland. Well, sorry, Irish listeners.
No. It's not Ireland that's dumb, it's English that's dumb. Ireland's spelling's awesome. If you use it in the proper Irish way, you'd put the asterisks and other, asterisks, but like things above the letters, and then it would make sense, you know. But English, we've just gotten that spelling, and we've just gotten rid of the bits that would make it make sense, and it's just like S-E-A-N. Yes, that spells Sean. What? Anyway, the stuff that movie magic is made of.
Stuff that music, yeah, that's good. That's a good one. See, like, these are hard because it's like, technically this movie, quality-wise, is like half a star, but Quality wise, it's 5 stars, so I don't
there's
know.
There's a review later on that was like made for this segment.
Oh no.
And I wrote down it was made in 2008, so it wasn't made specifically for the segment, but it's very funny.
That's wild. This one I'm gonna say again, I'm gonna go positive, but I'm not gonna go too positive. Maybe like a 3.5.
3.5. Oh, very close. It's actually a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. 4 out of 5.
See, this would have been perfect for the two of you going and guessing. Kristen says cheese scale 5. Slasher scale 1.
Mm.
I'll average it out.
So 3.
3? Correct. It's 3. But it also could have been 2.5.
It could have been 2.5. That is down the middle.
Yeah.
Down the middle.
Yeah. Eddie says, I haven't seen this in a long time, but I remember not liking it.
Aww, that's sad.
Eddie, why review this movie if you haven't seen it in a long time? I hate these reviews because I've seen so many of them, and it's like, I haven't seen this in a long time, but I remember not like. Well, watch it again before you make the review. Why are you reviewing it now?
That is why Letterboxd is so much better, because you can mark movies as watched, but you don't rate them.
Yeah.
So it adds to your algorithm, but there's no rating that you've put down. It's good stuff. Yeah. I'm going to say this one's probably a 1. I don't think it's a 0.5. I'm going to go 1.
Wow, very astute, very astute. Yeah, it's a 1 out of 5. Well done, well done. Very good, very good. Because they couldn't fully commit to a 0.5 because they haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
Wesley says, this movie nearly turned Garbage Day into a holiday.
Maybe that can be our new thing. Every time a new episode is out, we're celebrating Garbage Day. Every Monday morning, Australian Eastern Standard Time, it's Garbage Day. I don't like that, actually.
If this show's coming out, then it is Garbage Day.
Yeah. That's probably 3.5.
1.5.
This is a hard one to guess ratings for.
Yeah, no, because the movie nearly turns gay. It sounds positive. It's not.
No.
Funny display name says, yes, that was their display name. Christ. Great name. I don't know if I should give this a 1 or a 5. Mm-hmm. Decisions, decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
And I'll point out, this came out in 2008. This was the review. But it's like perfect for the show. So, what do you think they decided on? A 1 or a 5?
Well, it's either one of those or it's something in the middle. I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go 5 out of 5. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, yeah. And this would have been perfect because then she would have gone, I guess I'll go 1 out of 5. And she would have been right because it's 1 out of 5.
Damn.
Get bamboozled again. Oh, dear. And then finally, for our last review, we have Tino. And Tino says, truly a masterpiece. An Oscar-worthy acting from Eric Freeman.
It is.
Yeah.
That's got to be 5 stars.
It's absolutely 5 out of 5, this movie deserves.
Oh, well, there we go. Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. We did it.
We made it.
We did it. The rest of the year's downhill from here, because we've just reviewed the best film of the year.
Yeah, we've hit our peak.
If you like the show, as always, you can help us out if you want. No obligation, but we are on Patreon. You can sign up for $5 a month for upwards of 2 bonus episodes. Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl-rama, that came out on Wednesday. That is a very fun episode, very fun movie. If you like Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, you will probably love Sorority Babes as well. And coming up is a bonus battle of 2 slashes, which will be pretty fun. We'll record that at some point soon, I guess. That'll be a fun one, and then probably some polls to decide what else is coming up. Mortal Kombat review soon at some point as well, whenever that's finally released. So that's all on Patreon. Also, if you don't want bonus episodes, there's also a $1 tier that's just kind of generally helps us out, and we appreciate any support that we get through that.
That'd be good. I forgot. Well, the other day I saw someone wearing a shirt with the Toxic Avenger on it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and this was at work, so I was like, oh, cool shirt. I love the Toxic Avenger. And he's like, whoa, someone knows about the Toxic Avenger. And I was like, yeah.
It's great. Man, we need to do those sequels at some point. That could be fun.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Maybe we can rope Ben into it. Actually, that'd probably be quite difficult to write. We also have Instagram, we've got Facebook pages, we've got emails, all that stuff in the description. You can give us a review on iTunes. It all helps out Or just keep listening. That's good enough. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
What are we doing next week? Am I picking? I've got to send you the choices. I mean, no, I don't. You've got the choices in front of you.
Wow, let me pull up the sheet. I don't have a piece of paper to
Oh, no, you're committing to the bit. Excellent.
All right, let me read these out, this list I have in front of me. Bloodhook. It's what it sounds like. It's a trauma movie about a murderer killing fishermen with an oversized fish.
Nothing's going to beat that.
Yep, that's pretty good. Ooh, we have Project X.
Oh, saucy.
Yep, an airman and a graduate student are assigned to care for some chimps that are used in a secret Air Force project.
I take back the saucy line.
We have Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh.
The live-action musical retelling of the fairy tale.
No. Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin. Nope, nope. And then we have Wild Thing.
Wild Thing.
It's about an urban Tarzan.
I hate that word.
An urban Tarzan who patrols the streets of his city defending innocence.
As much as I love the song Wild Thing, I'm not picking that.
Wow, really? Oh, man. Some of these sound good. Like, Bloodhook sounds good. Project X also sounds pretty good as well.
Let me look up the Rotten Tomatoes score for Project X, because that either sounds incredible or absolutely awful.
Mm.
Project X, the first thing that comes up is like that stupid, like, party movie from a few years back.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Rumpelstiltskin, I've read the book. I've seen the tale done before. Get it out of here.
This is 75% Matthew Broderick, ooh, Helen Hunt. For Project X.
Wow.
That looks pretty good. And that's why I'm going to pick Bloodhook. Because obviously I'm going to pick Bloodhook. Yep. It's about a fisherman with a giant fishhook.
Yeah, it's a trauma movie. And you know we got to do a trauma movie.
It'll be interesting to see. Because the only other trauma film we've done is Toxic Avenger. I have seen Class of Nukem High outside of that. But it'll be interesting to see a trauma film that's not one of their big ones.
Mm.
Oh, the poster is exactly what I thought it would be.
Yep, is it just the guy with the big, big bloody hook?
Yeah, no, it's a babe, and she's hooked.
Oh, it's the other thing that they do.
The tagline is, you can't worm your way out. Yes!
Nice.
This is going to be awful. Next week, Bloodhook.
That's a great one. Fantastic.
Well, although doing that after Silent Night Part 2, that could be interesting. We could compare
it to this one.
All right, we'll do that next week. We'll wrap it up with the best quote.
Well, I'm going to avoid Garbage Day.
You're
going to
avoid Garbage Day. Okay.
I think I've said that already too many. I think I'll go with a different one. I'll go with, I don't know what made him stop. Actually, I do know what made him stop.
Great.
Why do you say, I don't know what made him stop? Fucking...
I'm gonna go with, eventually, Ricky, your brother left you. He didn't leave me. He turned 18.
Incredible.
Or I could just go, fuck off, Doc.
Garbage Day!
Garbage Day!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.